Hey there, Aligned You listeners. This is Dr. M here, and welcome to our Aligned and Thriving season and series of interviews. I am super pumped to be sharing a series of stories and interviews with some amazing humans, people, some who I've admired from a distance for a long period of time, others who I know personally and call dear, dear friends and feel very privileged to do so. This series is designed to actually dive deeper into what allows them to truly live an Aligned You and Aligned You life and to be thriving, whether that's in their work life, their home life, or their play life, and working out truly, is there common themes or is everyone different and we really do all reach our full potential in our own unique way. Enjoy this season. I've had an absolute pleasure and joy recording it. I'm your host, Dr. M, and you're listening to Aligned You, a podcast designed to assist you to truly be aligned through your body, head, and heart so you can reach your full potential in your own unique way. Hey there, Aligned You listeners. Dr. M here, and welcome to this week's episode. This week, I am very, very, very excited. That was a lot of verys, but it hopefully surmises how excited I am today to have the amazing Jacqueline Seguera. Did I say that correctly? Excellent. The amazing Dr. Jacqueline. Now I've got my teeth back in straight away. Jacqueline Seguera, who is a chiropractor and the owner of Biogeometric Integration Seminars International. She comes from a long line of chiropractors and was adjusted less than 10 minutes after being born, folks. We might unpack that a little more as to why that can be such a bonus and how beneficial it actually can be in a human system to be adjusted from that early on in life. She grew up in a chiropractic family and she comes from a long line of chiropractors. Growing up in a chiropractic office meant she truly saw the interconnected family style community that can be created with people all striving towards experiencing their own optimal health. She always knew that she wanted to be a healer and spent her life studying various techniques for natural health, which culminated in her chiropractic career and graduating from Life University in Georgia. During her chiropractic career, she has extensively studied the concepts of biogeometric integration. Her aunt, Dr. Sue Brown, DC, developed the framework of biogeometric integration, and on her transition, Dr. Jacqueline was handed the custodianship for BGI International in 2017. It's an absolute pleasure. My teeth really need to get put back in. I might need an adjustment after this, Jacqueline. It's an absolute pleasure and privilege to have you not only here in the Aligned You podcast booth, Jacqueline, but to have you here in Australia leading not just one, but two BGI seminars over last weekend and next weekend. So thank you so much for agreeing to be in the booth.
So happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Now, part of the reason why I was very excited to have you in the booth and so we had an opportunity to interview you is in the same reason why I was so excited that you were actually taking and leading the seminars over these couple of weekends is you have this beautiful ownership over BGI and such a level of certainty that I wanted to dive deeper into it, not just for the Aligned You listeners who might not be chiropractors and might be thinking, oh, this is all well and good for me, Dr. M. Why the hell am I listening to this woman? There's so much gold, folks. I'm telling you, so much gold. Mm. But also for the chiropractors that might be listening to get a little bit more background about why are you so passionate about what BGI holds and the framework that it offers. And we're going to unpack a little bit more about that today. So perhaps a great place to start, Jacqueline, is right back from the beginning. Why do you think it's important that people get their nervous systems checked from the very beginning? So you didn't know that's where we were starting, did you, folks? She's looking at me. Where is she going? We're going to the beginning.
To the beginning of my birth. Okay, got it.
Don't worry, folks. It won't be a chronological year-by-year blow. But I feel like it's a really great point to start, particularly when we start talking about quantum and how we're part of that, is why is it important to have it right from the beginning?
From the very beginning. Well, I would say so many of us think about birth as a very intense and beautiful but sometimes challenging experience for the mother. We don't always talk about the beautiful and sometimes challenging experience it is from the baby. And so that transition from utero to the earth, like to this place where we are actually breathing oxygen and a part of landing in on the planet, can offer such an opportunity, one, to make sure that their nervous system is as clear as possible, that they're actually able to thrive, not just meet certain markers. I like to say that the difference between what we're looking at as chiropractors in adjusting infants versus the medical system is the medical system is doing a really good job at making sure baby is alive. We're making sure that they are making sure that they are meeting goals to not be in a dis-ease process. Mm. Whereas us as chiropractors, we're looking to actually help them thrive. Not just are they alive, but actually are they growing optimally? And we know that so much cellular growth, so much actual development of their nervous system is happening from go. And so if we can get our hands in there as soon as possible, it's just profound. Before I was a chiropractor, while I was still in school, I was doing some work as a doula. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to be there for many births, and actually getting to have the honor of adjusting a baby so young, so little, is such a deep and profound sacred honor. And I'm really grateful for those experiences.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And I think, and I've certainly seen this in my practice life, and I'd love to hear a little more about your experience of what are some of the things you notice when you are getting your hands in early for a bub to be able to help them thrive and into toddlership.
Yeah.
And into those early formative years when so much of motor development is being developed and refined. What are some of the things that you notice most?
Absolutely. I would say the number one thing that I notice is how their instinct to move, to integrate, their instinct to actually learn from the adjustment is so natural. It's us as adults who've turned off those kind of signals and cues. And so you will notice when adjusting an infant that they automatically yawn, they automatically stretch and wiggle in response to the adjustment. Often doing that in front of parents or other family members help the adults actually learn more about what is happening to them when they're getting adjusted.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I love that framework. One of the things that I love about BGI, and some of the listeners would have perhaps heard me speaking about it before, and I mentioned it over the seminar that we were in over the weekend. BGI really came to me, and I call it my universal scholarship, in the sense of I've been in practice coming up 20 years, folks, or actually it's 20 years already, I think. I've just clocked over. In the first 15 years of practice, is that there were certain things that I was noticing in my day-to-days that I didn't have language for. And I was searching for the language and the framework to be able to explain some of the things that I was experiencing at a personal level, and often outside of the chiropractic realms, more in probably the spiritual realms is how I would describe it. And having an awareness of quantum coming into my life and having a spiritual awakening of sorts. And I was looking for a language of how I could incorporate and integrate that all into my practice life, from going from a very structural practice to, it's still very structural, but it's also got other layers and dimensions added to it. And lo and behold, BGI literally landed in my office through the amazing Dr. Therese, who, when Dr. T approached me to be able to use the space, I was like, oh, this is actually what I've been looking for all this time. So over the last few years is that I don't know I've always explained it with eloquence. And I think that you explain it so beautifully. So for our listeners, can you explain a bit more about what BGI actually is?
Yeah. So BGI is a framework. So we say it's not a technique. It's actually an approach. And the reason for that is because we are saying you apply your specific techniques, however you love to adjust. And then we're applying it from this really way of thinking, or a language that we think about the body, even the universe. And so that language is in the framework of sacred geometry. So we're looking at the sacred geometry within the body, and we're looking at that from the perspective of the potential energy theory of subluxation. So the potential energy theory of subluxation is a theory that Sue created and really is the foundation of all of our work in BGI. And it's from that foundation of why we get subluxated that really cues us into how we are actually approaching the body when we're adjusting. So the potential energy theory of subluxation says that any experience that we have, like literally every experience that we have the opportunity to grow in our systems on every level that you can think about, that on a physical level, on a mental, emotional level, an energetic level, even chemistry level, all of the ways in which our bodies can communicate. And so in a moment in which we have a new experience, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to grow, or we have an opportunity to actually not adapt. And so this comes from chaos theory. So our little atoms are vibrating. We have a new experience. Let's say it's a new experience that for whatever reason on that day, I'm able to adapt to. Then my little atoms go into a heightened state of chaos. And then in that heightened state of chaos, if I'm able to adapt that day, all of the stars are aligned. I got great sleep. I'm having a great time with my partner, whatever it is. And I'm able to learn in that specific moment. Then my little atoms go into heightened state of chaos, are able to adapt to that information, actually integrate that information, and then my system goes into a less of a state of chaos, but I've actually evolved a little bit in that moment. Well, that's all well and good. There's not subluxation there. In a different moment, I have a new experience. So a new experience happens. My little atoms go into a heightened state of chaos. And for whatever reason, I can't adapt on that day. Whatever it is, I always say like my cat puked on my shoes, whatever is the reason that I can't adapt on that day. And so if I can't adapt on that day, then innate in its infinite wisdom, my internal intelligence in its infinite wisdom doesn't go, oh, shoot, lost the opportunity to learn. No, we actually store that information as potential energy, like from physics, potential energy, mm-hmm. right? In our systems. And that is stored in a logical manner that we call subluxations. And so the how we are subluxating is actually, I just wasn't able to learn in that moment. So then when we're going to approach the body utilizing the concepts of BGI in an adjustment, we're actually giving the person on the table an opportunity to, again, relearn from that experience. They're able to learn from that experience, actually integrate the information that was encoded in that experience, and thus take a tiny little step in their growth. Also,
yeah. I love that explanation, and we might expand on it a wee bit more, sure. in the sense of how, as the chiropractor or the practitioner or the person that is assisting through allowing that potential to integrate. So having a conversation with a gorgeous client of mine this morning, and she's been through all sorts of trials and tribulations with her health, mm-hmm. and we're bringing her body into a better sense of alignment and her system into better alignment, and she's really noticing the changes. She's also consistently apologizing for what mm-hmm. that I have to work with mm-hmm. it. And this morning I was talking to her, and I love how you put it over the week, which I shared with her, and she was like, all right, which is from a quantum perspective is she's not doing anything to me. Mm-hmm. It's in that moment is we're co-creating the change. It's actually her body doing it. I'm simply guiding it. So I loved how you put it, and this might land for the chiropractors that might be listening and other people that are working with people, whether that's physically working with yeah. them or you've got colleagues that you're working with, mm-hmm. is it's not so much that I'm doing anything. I'm yeah. just helping guide the situation, and it's not actually mine to take on. So I said, stop apologizing. Should be actually saying you're welcome, because I have the privilege of getting to work with you.
Yes.
And it's not putting anything on me by me assisting you. Can you talk a little bit more to that?
Absolutely. So I say it's our job as chiropractors to really work on our skill, to really work on our mindset, to do my homework, whether that's therapy or my movement exercise or getting on the table to get my own adjustments. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my job to do my work, and it's my job to work on my game, like my actual art and my skill. However, in the moment of the adjustment, I'm not doing anything. I'm actually there to witness, and I'm there to witness the magnificence that is already alive in that person. And in that moment, it's really on me to not judge what I'm seeing, but to actually listen to the information that is provided from the person on the table. And that's where that dance of the adjustment begins. So mm-hmm. their body is leading me to what we're adjusting. You know, they're there for my time. They're there for my expertise. And they're there to know that I have them, like mm-hmm. that I'm supporting them in that moment, so that whatever needs to unfold on the table is able to unfold on the table.
Yeah, I really love that. And as I was saying to Jacqueline off air, is there were certain things that she framed over the weekend. And whilst I cerebrally knew them, is that I feel like over the weekend it landed into my body and my system of like, oh, wow, okay. And I think one of the beauties of our profession and why those of us that hang around for decades is because we are consistently learning and having that openness to what's the next layer and what's the next evolution of my learning and how can I take it to a new level. And so, I said it earlier as we were jumping on air, I'm so grateful that I get to do what I do every day, but also also that I have this ability, and the opportunity is the word I was looking for, the opportunity to continue to learn, and from amazing people like yourself, that often we just hear things slightly differently.
Absolutely.
And I think for our listeners that might land is that whatever career path you're on, you don't have to be a chiropractor for this one, is that sometimes we just hear something from a slightly different perspective or lens and we go, oh, shit, okay. Everything that kind of didn't make sense, now all the pieces of the puzzle are actually coming together all at once. I would love to talk more about why, for the chiropractors that are listening, is why would you suggest they, not necessarily should, but why is checking out BGI, if they've never been exposed to it before, why is it a good idea to actually have a look at it and maybe investigate it further as to how it could benefit them in practice life?
Absolutely. So I have two thoughts on that. And the first one is, you know, when Sue was starting to discover how to actually write down the information that she was seeing in practice. So Sue didn't set out to create a seminar series. She just set out to serve the people in her office to the highest of her ability. And through some meticulous note-taking, some meticulous observation, the patterns and actually the geometry that we now teach revealed itself. And so in that process, what inspired her and what genuinely inspires me is if we watch videos of the people we would call chiropractic masters, let's say like Gonstead or, and, you know, BJ, any of the truly chiropractic masters that we could observe, if you can like go on YouTube and see videos of, let's say, Gonstead adjusting, you'll notice this special something that happens. You know, like obviously there's the material that he was teaching, beautiful, wonderful. But there's this special something that we can see across true chiropractic mastery. Often that looks like really being connected. It looks like some refinement in positioning at the moment of the adjustment. They'll be like, oh, I need to do this little wiggle before the actual thrust is applied. And Sue would observe that and go, why? How did they know how to do that? And what she noticed time and time again was that she wasn't hearing that be actually articulated, like why those refinements were happening. And so in her own personal pursuit of that path to chiropractic mastery, she wanted to create a system that actually supported people along that path. And so I would say for chiropractors who are already magnificent at what they do, first of all, BGI celebrates your magnificence. We say all chiropractic is sacred. And secondly, it's really about like, if you're already magnificent, what could be possible if we took you to another level? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's when it comes to mastery of what we do in practice or with our hands or with our communication or our day-to-day interaction. Because let's face it, the adjustment starts with the interactions that we're having with clients. Is that the true mastery, and you put it beautifully over the weekend, I 100% agree, true masters never stop learning.
Yes.
There's always further mastery to aspire to and to potentially achieve as well. I'd love to dive into a little more about your thoughts and explanations of more so for the people that might be listening that aren't chiropractors.
Yes.
So for those that might be my clients or clients of other chiropractors, is from your take, whether it's from a BGI lens or your own personal experience, Jacqueline, when a lot of people first come to see us because all they've heard is that chiropractic kind of works, maybe, but they're a bit scared because we're all a bunch of lunatics, you know, this sort of mentality, but I've tried everything else. So, you know, I'm giving it a shot of, but most of the general public, particularly in Australia, I'm not sure if it's the same way you're living in the States, but you know, we're good for back pain and neck pain, maybe some headaches.
Yeah.
You might sort out of a knee or two, and it's very a reductionistic model and a pain-based model that most people in Australia anyway have been brought up in.
Absolutely.
The majority of people. And then there's that element of how do we help? And then I also have a group of clients that I look after that it's much more around integrating what's going on for their, it is for their development, their evolution, their elevation from a spiritual level, and how we can actually assist their body catch up to what might be going going on within their higher self? So I realize that's a large question, and we've basically gone from the gamut of 3D structural correction through to how can chiropractic and what we do with our hands. So one of the things that I love to think about is when people go, what are you feeling in your hands? And it's like we're reading. It's almost a bit like Braille of by putting our hands on, we get so much information through as to how we can assist. So I'd love some thoughts about how we can help from that very 3D structural point of view through to what do you mean you can help my higher self integrate into my system, Dr. M? Okay, next level. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So this question, I'm going to bridge to the previous question as well. So the very first thing that we're doing when we're approaching someone from a BGI approach is called establishing continuity. In my opinion, that's the largest gift that Sue gave the chiropractic profession. And so really in establishing continuity, all we're doing is making sure that the body can communicate to itself. And so for our participants who are in our offices, if you can imagine, if you can't communicate in your family, if you're yelling your needs and literally your partner cannot hear them, then those needs are not going to get met. Well, that's also can literally happen in our body. If my neck cannot communicate to what is below it, then those needs cannot be met. So the very first thing in our framework we're doing is establishing continuity. We're making sure that the body can communicate to itself in all the ways that the body communicates in our nervous system, in our circulatory system, in our hormones, in our chemistry, and even the electromagnetic field. And then as far as, you know, how do we get them from that kind of pain model to there could be so much more? So I like to tell the people in my office that, of course, I care about your pain because you care about your pain and I care about you. I care about your life. However, I want to help people start to look at that pain differently. I want them to see that pain as actually possibly a message from their own body. So sure, I care if somebody's shoulders hurts, but I care way more if they can crawl around with their grandkids on the floor, if they can have that quality of life with them. From a BGI perspective, we're actually not separating the physical experiences we have from the mental, emotional, and even possibly spiritual experiences. That all of them are actually one from a quantum perspective. So as we support someone in integrating those experiences, naturally, pain dissipates, naturally function increases. But instead of making that the only goal, we're actually looking for the goal being how can the system learn? How can the body learn from the experience? Whatever that experience might be, whether it's, you know, a family member passing or a stubbed toe.
And I think that's one of the beauties of the simplicity of chiropractic and also the complexity that it brings all at the same time that sometimes I think confuses some chiropractors, let alone the general public that might end up in different styles of chiropractic offices where they might be going to an office where the focus is much more just pain and symptoms and let's stop that hurting versus arriving into your office or my office where we start talking about releasing potential so people can live a different life. It reminds me of a few weeks ago, a gorgeous client of mine who I was adjusting her thoracic spine, which is a mid spine for those of you who are not versed in anatomy. And so in the middle of her back, between her shoulder blades, about where your bra strap sits, there was a cavitation through the adjustment. She goes, geez, that must be satisfying for you when you do it. I went, not really. Like, if that's what floats my boat 20 years in, that's a concern. But it's more so, and it actually started a really interesting conversation because I said, no, what really floats my boat about that is the ripple effect of that and that you get to go about your day more easily. I love what you said about if you can crawl around with your grandkids is it's the ripple effect of you having a conversation with more ease with your partner or you feeling now that you've got the strength in your body that you could go for a promotion that you've been wanting to go to for ages or getting back to doing the stuff that you love. That's what floats my boat. And I've talked for about 15 minutes about all the different ripple effects that can actually be created. That's really where the special, and I can feel myself lighting up as I talk about it. That's what gets me up in the morning. Absolutely. Otherwise, if it was just about, sometimes I always find it funny. I had it reminds me of a time many years ago in my practice down the South Coast. I had this gentleman walk into my office and the first thing he did, he literally threw his wallet down on the desk. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Okay, what's happening? And he said, oh, I've heard about you chiropractors. You just want my money. And I was like, Yeah, well, that's not actually the case, mm-hmm. because if I actually just wanted to make money, I would be much better served going doing something else.
Absolutely.
I'd go be a banker and work in finance, because it's often been said I could sell anything. But it's where, mm-hmm. for me, it's actually not about that. It's about the vocation of what it is that we do. And I want to ask you a question about your vocation, because there's part of Jacqueline's bigger bio, folks, mm-hmm. is all the different things she has studied before she went ahead and studied chiropractic. So mm-hmm. I'd love to know, why didn't you just go straight into chiropractic? And were you just rebelling, is my first question, from your chiropractic family, who Jacqueline comes from a big family who were all chiropractors. Okay. So was that your rebellious streak? And also, why you didn't just go straight into chiropractic, and what were some of your biggest takeaways were from the other modalities that you learned pre-becoming a chiropractor?
Yeah.
I mean, you were probably always a chiropractor, but before you got the ticket.
Absolutely.
Before you got the degree.
Yeah. So there are pictures of me as a six-year-old and Halloween pretending to be a fairy princess, but I wasn't just a fairy princess. I was a fairy princess chiropractor.
Uh-huh.
So from go, that was what I, how I saw myself and what I saw for my career. And as I entered into adulthood, I started to really question, is this what I want, or is this what is just so immersed in my family that I wanted to make sure that it was truly my calling. Mm-hmm. And so my first stop on the natural wellness train there is to go to yoga school. And honestly, I went to yoga school to be a yoga instructor to save my life. Mm-hmm. I was at a time in which I was genuinely having a hard time processing some major events, mm-hmm. I would say, some major events in my early adulthood. And I really saw that I could spiral down, or I could dive into yoga. And so to me, yoga genuinely saved my life and really changed my relationship to my body. And so from there, I knew that I wanted to be the chiropractor, but I thought, oh, I love to talk to people. I love to move. Do I want to touch people for a living? Is that actually how I want to make my money, by touching people for a living? And so from there, I landed in massage school. At this time, I'm also doing energy work professionally. I've studied many different energetic and shamanic practices mm-hmm. to form that. And so I was doing that professionally and teaching yoga professionally. But really, I went to massage school to make sure I wanted to touch people mm-hmm. for a living.
Plan.
Yeah.
Because it's important.
It is. It is. And it provided a great way for me to support myself while in chiropractic mm-hmm. school. You know, massage was always really the plan to make some money through chiropractic school and to really get a lot of experience in my hands. And so now I say, from massage, I've learned the language of muscles. And so the language of muscles, from a BGI perspective, we're not just looking at the bones and the nervous system, although we're totally looking at those things. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at the fascia, the ligamentous, the soft connective tissue, and also the muscular systems. And so having that foundation in the muscular system really served me in my palpation skills mm-hmm. and in my approach to the body. From yoga, I really got to see the emotional relationship we have with our bodies. I would say, especially with like forward folds, in which, you know, my face would literally be on my legs mm-hmm. and that connection to my body of loving my body, trusting my body, even forgiving my body from things that I thought it had done incorrectly or wrong. And so all of that coming forward, even the energetic and shamanic approaches coming forward, to me, they're all constantly informing how I adjust someone mm-hmm. and how I approach the person on the table.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the what you said about making sure it was your vocation
yes.
and it wasn't just because the whole family was chiropractors yes. and it's the expectation yes. and living up to that mm-hmm. and developing those skill sets that would perhaps have been developed anyway.
Yeah.
But it just is that there's no need to rush into yeah. things. And I see that with a lot of clients where, and over my years of both in practice hands-on and also the coaching work that I do and the speaking work that I do, is people just want to be mm. somewhere faster.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I can see that that would have been a temptation
yeah.
given the family you grew up in. It's quite common, folks, our listeners who might be going, what's this chiropractic family business?
Mm.
It's quite common that once there's a chiropractor in the mm. family, there ends up being many chiropractors in the family, because it becomes a way of life in mm-hmm. many ways. When the vitalistic approach starts getting taken in one aspect of your life, yeah. it just makes sense that it actually flows through into other areas. And I also love that you tested out whether you liked touching people.
Yeah,
I had somebody else talking to me not that long ago. They're like, oh, I think I want to do XYZ. And I said, do you like touching people? And they're like, no, I don't like touching them. I don't particularly like being around them. It's like, well, this perhaps is not a career path for you. And in the same way, many, many moons ago now is when I was, it was around the 10-year mark when I'd been in practice, and I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to be hands-on anymore. Mm. I actually, an ex who was a chiropractor that we used to run a practice together, when we broke up, I think I had a lot of anger directed at chiropractic or the practice of versus where it should have been named, which was probably at myself and at her at the time and working through those emotions. But it was just easier to put it onto chiropractic. I'm like, do I even want to do this anymore? Mm. So I actually started doing some coaching courses, and then I tested that out as to whether that's what I wanted to do full-time. And then I realized, no, I actually really love the hands-on, because as much as I love people, is I also don't always like talking to them. Yeah. I like being able to help, not through words. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really interesting test out. And I highly recommend for people, if you're looking for perhaps a shift in career paths, is to test it out first.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't like it, I mean, even better still, if you don't love it, for there's other there's other stuff you could be doing, which is really, really important. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about what you love about teaching now, because there must have been a reason why you got handed the custodianship. And I suppose the first question is, have you always loved it, or was it something that you had to learn to love, and what do you love about it now?
Yes. Oh, let me think about that. Have I always loved it? I think I've always loved the idea of it, but it did take me some time to love the actual practice of it, the actual doing it. And so really, I took over BGI at a time in my career in which I was very, very young in my chiropractic career. And so instead of just jumping into teaching, what I did was jump into the study of how best to teach. And so for quite a few years, I was looking at how people learn, how people actually experience information, and how to present that in a way that creates take-homes, actually creates people being able to apply that in their lives in real time. And so now what I love about teaching is actually the same as what I love about adjusting. To me, it's very similar, only in my office, I'm adjusting with my hands. When I'm teaching, I'm adjusting with my words. And so both times, what I love about it is getting to see those light bulb moments, those aha moments, and watching a chiropractor or a chiropractic student who maybe is still in school, getting to watch them discover things maybe that they already knew, like you were saying, but in different light, you know, really having that come home for them. And that's what I love when I'm serving people in the office also, is getting to see those aha moments, like, oh, this is what my shoulder is telling me, or whatever it is.
Yeah, I love that. And I know there'll be Australian docs that are listening to this, Jacqueline. And one of the things we were discussing over the weekend is, and I bring this up because I would love to see more Australian docs actually coming and checking out BGI, if for nothing else, just for the continuity side of things, even if they did nothing else, because, from personal experience and also from what I've witnessed since being a part of BGI is, and having it in my field, is the power of it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're going to change your practice. It just might mean you add one extra thing in that gives a different depth to what you've been doing for a really long time. And it's not about making, it's not about saying anything was wrong that you were doing. It's just, as you said earlier, how can you elevate it? And one of the things that we were talking about on the weekend is the different culture in, in the States in terms of who rocks up to BGI. So there might be Australian docs who have been in practice for a gazillion years who look at your stuff in the States going, oh, that kind of looks like it's for students.
Yeah.
Versus your experience here is it's like, no, you're actually all quite established DCs who are wanting to elevate. So I'd love to hear a bit more about that. So if people are following you on Instagram or on socials and they're like, who's this for?
Yeah, absolutely. So the seminar culture in the United States has a ton of students. Like, really, it's a highlight to, let's just say, the type of education that they're getting at their chiropractic universities that is really sending students in huge numbers to vitalistic seminars. And so we're serving a need there. The students need that vitalistic information. Whereas in Australia, I've learned, like, the seminar culture here is very much established docs. Like, they're here for continuing themselves on the path. What's beautiful is that BGI meets people exactly where they are. That establishing continuity piece, like I said, is literally the biggest gifts that Sue gave to chiropractic. By just establishing continuity, we will see whatever objective markers you're using, whatever clinical parameters you're using, they become more accurate because the body can actually communicate to itself. If the body is not fully communicating somewhere through the spine and you're doing, let's say, a leg check, if that information isn't continuous, is what we'll say, that information isn't continuous, if there's a disconnect or a block to that information, how do we know that that parameter is as accurate as we need it to be if that's what we're using for adjusting, right? And so establishing continuity, and then really, I would say, even if BGI is not your cup of tea, the palpation skills that get developed in BGI from a very refined, very subtle level will only just up the skills of what you're doing. Yeah.
And I love that. And I loved it when I first was introduced, or as I said, the universal scholarship of it literally landing on my doorstep, of that I didn't need to change anything. And yes. I really didn't change that much for the first 12 months. And then I've just started to incorporate it into my day-to-day practice, because I think what happens sometimes, I don't know if you experienced this through other seminars that you've been to, or whether it was because BGI was so ingrained into who you were, it was like, well, that wasn't really ever an option. Yeah. But I know from my personal experience of early on in my career path, where I'd go to a next seminar, I'm like, oh, everything's getting thrown out and I'm going to start again. That's not what BGI is about, is
it? Absolutely. Yeah. So the beautiful thing about BGI is that we are so diverse in how our chiropractors actually adjust. That's why we're a framework or an approach. And so genuinely, if you love Toggle, you can apply the concept of BGI. Yeah. If you love Activator, knock yourself out. Whatever it is that you bring, this is just a different way of looking at the body. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take out any of that art that you already have built in your hands. And what I love about it is that really that means, I call it the tools in your tool belt, right? You bring whatever tools in your tool belt that you already have. And now we're just looking at the body, possibly a little more globally and a little more quantumly than you had previously.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. We could talk about this for hours, but we won't. Is there anything else that you think is important for us to share with the listeners or people that are watching this on our YouTube channel? In the sense of, from a BGI perspective, when it comes to how we're approaching our body or our systems, is there anything we haven't covered yet, Jacqueline, that you would be, I cannot leave this booth without sharing this?
Yeah, what I would like to share is that every experience that you have is for the opportunity for learning. And so really, as a BGI chiropractor, I'm looking at the experiences you have, not from right or wrong, not from good or bad, but just as an opportunity for your potential. And so if we can look at the experiences that sometimes might be really challenging, and with not trying to diminish that, I have had some very challenging experiences, but to actually look at that as opportunities to learn. And the thing that I see BGI being uniquely offering is that ability to integrate those experiences. And by integrate, I mean actually make them a part of you so that they're not like, oh, this thing happened to me, but it's actually more like I grew and my whole being was transformed because of the information of that experience.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you mentioned it earlier, but it's the opportunity to grow or not.
Yes.
And let's face it, some of those experience that people have had in their human experience can just be outright shit.
Yes, absolutely.
And they can be awful. And it's not that they are not. It's that what then is the next step post that, and how, if the opportunity to integrate that is, do you choose to integrate it or not?
Absolutely.
Which I think is very, very powerful. I'm just so grateful for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm pumped to get to do BGI 4M with you on the weekend as well. This may not get released straight away, so people are like, what do you mean you're here? So keep your eye out, folks. All the links for BGI HQ and also BGI Australia will be in the show notes. So if you're interested in knowing more about it, you're welcome to shoot me a message if you can't. can't find it for some reason, I'll point you in the right direction. Before we go today, Jacqueline, I mentioned to you off air, I did give her a chance to prep folks, but I did mention to her we will be finishing off with your top five.
Okay.
So she's very excited to be sharing. Mm-hmm. So as the listeners know, is that when it's usually my weekly drop and it's just me, mm-hmm. is or only me, not just me. I don't mm-hmm. think there's anything just about me, mm-hmm. Is that I always finish off with my top five. So what is on high rotation at the moment? What are you listening to?
Yeah, I love Dea Dova. There's two of them, actually. It's a couple that create music, and they travel around and actually are listening to the vibrations of the planet to make the songs. And so if you have an opportunity to listen to Dea Dova, it's a little electronica. So if that's not your cup of tea,
but no, I'm into it. You just totally stepped me up, Jacqueline, from my usual. This week it was Dua Lipa.
Got it.
Dove, you totally stepped it up, and we have now elevated to a new level of music, folks. I love that. I'm definitely going to look that up. What are you reading or watching at the moment?
Yeah, right now I am reading No Bad Parts, and that's Richard Swartz. And so that's about the mental health approach called internal family systems. Although it's a mental health approach, I find a lot of parallels to our chiropractic philosophy in there. So yeah, No Bad Parts.
I think one of the beautiful things, I digress a little from your mm-hmm. top five, but I think one of the beautiful things when we are talking about a vitalistic philosophy, mm-hmm. that can go across multiple professions. Yeah. It's not unique to us.
Absolutely.
Obviously, how we then are able to express it through our hands is unique to chiropractic.
Absolutely.
But I love that. And I love finding those synergies between mm-hmm. professions and professionals. And I know we were speaking over the weekend about the networks that we have around us. And often people say to me, oh, wow, Dr. M, you know a lot of people and you can point me in the right direction. And it's because I purposefully and with purpose build networks around me that means that can also assist, because it's not always me that does the assisting.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people need help from other people too. What do you do to de-stress and align? What's your favorite thing to do?
Yeah, so I already mentioned yoga. And so that's definitely part of it. But I actually have been doing a lot of drumming recently.
Ooh.
And so that's love starting my day with some drumming and just being in the rhythms of nature and in the rhythms of myself.
Oh, I like that a lot. What is your favorite quote?
So the quote I love to share is actually from Sue Brown, my aunt and the creator of BGI. And so this quote is, the art of chiropractic is much more than an application of a technique or an introduction of a force. It is a melding of substance and being, of technical precision and heart-centered connection. In the moment of the adjustment, two become one. A synergistic flow begins towards growth and evolution. The power and creativity of nature are unleashed, awakening us to the realization that the adjustment is alive and dynamically in motion.
Oh, I love that. I love that quote. I could read that all day. And goodness, if people ever wonder why we do what we do, read that quote and it sums it up really beautifully as to why that gets us up with pace in the morning to come and help our clients and to assist. Final thoughts for today's podcast for our listeners.
My final thoughts are that you are magnificent exactly as you are in this exact moment.
Oh, that's a profound and powerful final quote. Thank you so much, Jacqueline, for being on Aligned You. That's it for this week, Aligned You listeners. Bye for now, and I'll catch you next time.
And that's it for today's episode, Aligned You listeners. Remember to hit the 5-star ratings and share today's episode with your friends. And be sure to join our collective on Facebook and Instagram at Aligned You. Look forward to catching you next time. The information shared on Aligned You podcast is of general nature and for information purposes only. It is not specific medical or personal advice. You should seek assistance from your healthcare practitioner for your individual circumstances. Any information provided doesn't imply endorsement or third-party devices or products and cannot provide you with health and medical advice.